Hi, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity, where we expound God's Word and keep an eye on heaven. God bless you. You can find all you need on our website at eternity.church. Now, in this episode, we're going to learn more from the wonderful Word of God. Hi, this is Pastor John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity. And in this broadcast, we'll be looking at how to cope with the overwhelming situations of life. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we pray that you might make your word living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword, and bring light to us in the circumstances of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Sometimes life can be overwhelming. We are in a circumstance which looks like the winds and the waves of life are over us. We can't cope another minute, let alone another day or another hour. And we want to be like David in Psalm 55, who says, "O Lord, give me the wings of a dove that I might fly away from my circumstances." And we find that we are like the disciples who were in the boat, and this great storm came up. Let's have a look at that. "And immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side." We're in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 22. "While he sent the multitudes away." Verse 23 of Matthew 14. "And after he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already many stadia away from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were frightened, saying, 'It is a ghost,' and they cried out to him for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid.' And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' And he said, 'Come.' And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him, and said to him, 'O ye of little faith, why did you doubt?' And when they got into the boat, the wind stopped. And those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, 'You are certainly God's son.'" So here we have a situation where the disciples are overwhelmed. The boat is many stadia away from the shore. It's being battered by the winds and the waves. They're frightened. They think their circumstances are no good. They, in some other passages, think they're about to drown, and Jesus comes and starts walking on the water towards them. They're out of their own resources, and they are there, and they're scared of the wind and the waves and the water, and they're out there, and they've come to the end of themselves in many ways. And yet, Peter has the faith to realize that Jesus is greater than the circumstances, and says, If it's you, Lord, let me come to you. Call me out on the water." And he goes and he walks, but we know that he sees the winds and the waves. He looks at the circumstances, and down he goes and he sinks. But the Lord rescues him out of those situations, and he gets into the boat, and then the winds and the waves, that they stop. And so we know that God is helping them. When he cries out, "Lord, help me, because I'm sinking," Jesus reaches out and grabs hold of him. And this is a good analogy to many circumstances that we are in life. Suddenly it's one more thing, one more wave of financial problems, relationship problems, spiritual problems, whatever's coming, just the circumstances of life, another form to fill in, and another dealing with the government, another situation that seems impossible to get something repaired or the car fixed or this or the other. All these situations come in with our health and our family and our children, and suddenly life seems overwhelming. And we think that God's mad with us. We think, "Why is God letting all these things happen to me? Why can't my life be easy like that person over there?" And we always think of our neighbor or the pastor or someone else. He or she seems to have an easy life. Why is my life continuously a trouble this way or a trouble that? And yet we have to trust the Lord. We have to know that God's going to bring us through the circumstances. Now, in the Bible, it tells us to put on the full armor of God against the evil day. You see, the Bible says there are evil days, there are bad days, there are days that come and they're just bad. that a war comes through the land, or a famine, or a plague of illness like this COVID disease, or some other thing comes upon us, a recession, a depression, finances are lost, or the church is closed down. Things happen in the evil day. And we have to be able to stand in our faith and withstand the attacks of the enemy in our mind, in our heart, in our emotions. Because when you're stressed, that's when the devil attacks your feelings and your thoughts and puts thoughts of envy and resentment in there, and why didn't God do this and why didn't God do that? And we have to be able to stand and put on the full armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, the belt of truth, and the shoes sod with the gospel of peace and the breastplate of righteousness. All these things we have to put on to withstand against the temptations in our mind when we're going through these terrible circumstances. And we have to set our will on God. We have to set our eyes on Jesus. Now, Peter, when he had his eyes on Jesus, when he had that burst of faith, was able to completely overlook the winds and the waves for a little while and make progress. He made real spiritual progress. He was the one disciple who got out of the boat and did something for Jesus in the midst of the storm. He was making spiritual progress for a little while right there in the middle of the storm. So storms come and go. The circumstances of life come and go. And sometimes we're battered by the winds and the wave, and everything seems to terrify us right down in the depths of our being. And so when that happens, we need to be people of great faith. People who don't give way when the winds and the waves are coming against us in terrifying circumstances. And in another case, in a different case, let's go to Mark chapter 4. And on that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let's go over to the other side." And leaving the multitude, he took him along with them, just as he was in the boat. This time, Jesus isn't on the mountain, he's in the boat with them. And other boats were with him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat, so much that the boat was already filling up. And he himself was in the stern asleep on the cushion. And I awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And being aroused, he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Hush, be still." The wind died down and it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so timid? How is it that you have no faith?" And they became very much afraid and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and sea obey him?" Now this is a different time. This time they're going across to the land of the Gadarenes with some other boats. So this isn't just one boat, it's multiple boats. And this time Jesus is in the boat with them. It's a different instance and a different storm. And this time they're heading off to do some ministry to a very demon-possessed man. And it seems like the devil didn't want them to go over there and minister to Legion. The storm came against them with great intensity, and it's a demonic storm, and Jesus was able to stand up and rebuke it, and it just went completely still. Because it was a storm that was sent from the devil to prevent ministry from happening. And he says to them, "Why were you afraid, O ye of little faith?" Now, this raises the question, when the storms of life come, how do we have apostolic level faith? How do we have the faith of the early apostles who were able to go out against the Roman Empire, against the Sanhedrin, against all the opposition, and share the gospel right throughout the world so that 12 men turned the world upside down pretty easily, and Paul and the other apostles, there's about 30 in scripture, how did they have all this faith to go out there in the midst of the trials and tribulation of life? How did they have that courage? Obviously, it's from the Holy Spirit. You need to ask the Holy Spirit to put holy courage and holy boldness inside of you so you can look at those winds and the waves and say, "Quiet, be still. I have authority from God. I'm taking authority over all the demons that are coming against me and the circumstances in my life. I'm knocking those demons down right now in Jesus' name, and I'm not going to take this nonsense anymore." And Jesus expected them to use some authority, and he obviously expected that because he went to sleep and said, "You know, why didn't you rebuke this yourself?" That's the implication of what he's saying. Why didn't you have the faith to tackle this yourself? And we are full of unbelief in our own spiritual authority. Up before this point, they'd done miracles, they'd cast out demons, they'd healed people along with Jesus, and now they're faced with a storm and they didn't rebuke it. Sometimes we've got to rebuke the things that come against us in life. We need to rebuke the demonic sent storm and say, "Go away, stay away, and don't come back." And sometimes we might need a few friends to help us in that. But you've got heavenly authority. You need to use that authority, and you need to stand up against the wickedness of powers in the heavenly realms. And you need to keep your mind sharp. You need to say that you've got authority. If you go and think that you're weak, if you get into the thinking of helplessness, oh no, not this again, not this again, I'm helpless. Oh no, woe is me. Once you get into that pattern of thinking, oh no, not again, and you suddenly become hyper-vigilant. You become someone who's always panicking. Oh, this happened, pray for me. The next week, oh, this happened, pray for me. And people become panicky and afraid, and they're always crying out to their friends for help because they don't have any authority in their own life. Well, you've got to develop your authority in Jesus. You've got to learn to pray. You've got to learn to rebuke. You don't want to stay in the place of panic or depression or unbelief. You have to practice being strong. You only become strong by practicing that you're strong. We are all naturally weak. All of us are just made of flesh and blood. We're all earthen vessels. We all live a 70 or 80 years, then die. Some of us have good health or bad health. Some of us are smart. Some of us are not so smart. Whatever. We have natural weaknesses, and none of us can cope with everything that life throws at us in our own strength. We need God's strength. And you need to be practicing God's power and strength. You need to have the faith that with Christ you are strong and you can cope with it. You can cope with that next bill coming along there. You can cope with the next thing that you have to solve. Now, my wife and I have been in ministry a long time, and together we solve problems in a rather unusual way. We always believe there's a solution, or at least we try to believe that, and then we rattle a lot of doorknobs, and we try a lot of things, and we pray a lot, and eventually we find a way through. Very rarely do we find the answer first off. We have to believe that's a solution, and we sort of bang around and rattle around, and we try this and we try that, and we very rarely find the perfect answer first off. You have to persist. You have to seek. You have to find. You have to believe that the solution's out there, and you need to be bold enough to implement it once you find it. So we tackle things, and my wife is very strong and very persistent, she's the one in some ways that's stronger than I am. I'm a bit more imaginative, and so I tend to see the disasters before she does. But together, we're a good team. And so we keep on pushing through. We keep on believing there's a solution. We come up for air one more time and say, God, help us in this and show us how we can find a way through. And we need to be stubborn. You need spiritual stubbornness. You need to keep hammering away at the situation until you find a way through, and not get to that panicky place where you say, oh, we can't cope. Oh, we can't cope. You can say, I feel as if I am not coping at the moment, but God has an answer. You can feel overwhelmed because you're a human being, but you are not overwhelmed because you're in God. You're in Christ. It's just a feeling. It's a feeling that the devil's trying to put in your head to get you to give up. So you need to believe that there is a solution, that God is a God of solutions, that he's a God who answers prayer, and he's going to get you through it like he got the disciples through those two storms. So Jesus got the disciples through those storms and through many other things, and he developed apostolic courage in them. He developed boldness in them. He helped them to become brave, bold, faith-filled people that could go out into all the world and share the gospel. And he had to knock the fear out of them, so that when they got filled with the Holy Ghost, they weren't fearful people anymore. They weren't timid, but they became strong people who could go right through the Roman Empire. And God has not given you a spirit of cowardice or timidity or being frightened or afraid. He's not made you a small and weak person. He has filled you with the Holy Ghost, and he's given you a power of love and sound mind and strength. God has given you that power that's mentioned there in 2 Timothy 1:7. And he's given you a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. So he's given you that mind that isn't unstable, isn't always panicking, or isn't always frightened about the next thing coming along. So you need to learn to face your circumstances and say, oh, God's in control. God's going to help me through this. I've been through this before and before, and just let all those panicky feelings, all those winds and waves, let them subside within you and just look at yourself and say, well, I'm feeling this way, but maybe my feelings are out of control. Maybe they're not entirely true and I need to look at these feelings a little bit better and just get over them and let them come and let them go. You see, you can't really stop feeling bad. You can't do that. You can't control your feelings that much. Sometimes you receive really bad news and it frightens you and throws you around the place. Okay, let that feeling come and go. Let it pass through you. Then look to the Lord and cast all your troubles on Him. Let's look at Psalm 55. We're just going to pick a few verses out of it. Verses 6, verses 16, and verse 22. Here, David's overwhelmed by many circumstances. And we'll go 5 and 6. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. So he's overwhelmed. He's terrified. Everything's come upon him. He just wants to escape. But he knows he can't escape. He's got to face his circumstances. He's not a dove. He doesn't have wings. He needs to face this in the strength of God. And on verse 16, as for me, I shall call upon God and the Lord will save me. In verse 17, evening and morning and noon, I will complain and cry aloud and he will hear my voice. He will redeem my soul in peace from the battle which is against me, for there are many who strive with me. God will hear and answer them, even the one who is enthroned from old, with whom there is no change. And so we see here that he has decided to throw everything on God. God's eternal. God will hear and answer. He's there. He's enthroned from old. And he says, and he will hear my voice. He's confident that God's going to hear him and his overwhelming circumstances, and he's going to make his way through. And in verse 22 of Psalm 55, cast your burden upon the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. So at this point, he's arriving at that faith. So over there in verse 6, he's completely confused. Verse 16, he says, okay, I'm going to call upon God. And verse 22, cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. And he's saying, okay, I'm going to make it through. And here's my advice for you as well. Cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. Now, the verse here means roll your burden upon the Lord. Like a big burden that's on your back, you just roll it upon God. Don't keep that burden yourself. It's God's. The battle is the Lord's. All the things that you're facing, the battle is the Lord's. And he's going to help you through. He's going to get you through this. And as we look at what's happening there in Psalm 55, it's so human. It's so much like how we are. Well, at the beginning of the struggle, we're just freaking out. We're our hair's on fire. We're running around saying, talking to our wife or our husband or whatever and say, oh, woe is us. How can we get out of this, you know? Can we run away to this or that or the other? We'd like to just go away in the desert and let all these circumstances go by and you just want to become a monk or something. And so at the beginning of your trials and tribulations, you just want to flee. You just want to get away from this. Oh no, not another credit card bill or something like that. And suddenly it's all too much. And it's one more straw, one more thing, one more dispute with your neighbors or your relatives. And suddenly you just can't bear it. Now at that point, you just acknowledge that's how you're feeling. This is how I'm feeling. And David said, I just want to run away. I'm not coping. And then he continues in God's presence. He keeps praying. He keeps praying. And by the time he gets to verse 16, he says, as for me, I shall call upon God and the Lord will save me. Good. David's right in the word. He's calling upon God. Evening and morning and noon, I will complain and cry aloud and he will hear my voice. So this is persistent prayer. He's throwing himself on God over and over again, renewing his mind, renewing his heart, letting God's spirit minister to his spirit deep inside him. Because you have a human spirit, and that's where your strength is in your human spirit. And the Holy Spirit ministers to your human spirit, and you are strengthened in your heart, in your inner man, in your spirit. And when God strengthens you, you can be brave. You suddenly find you're braver than you thought you were. And God strengthens you and you go, okay, I will try and face this, God. I'll do my best. And as you start moving, God starts moving and the circumstances start to change. Then verse 22,
Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. This is David's conclusion for all the terrible things he went through, all the politics, all the wars. He says, just throw your troubles on God. Let God take care of this. Now, someone who went through a lot of trials and tribulations was the Apostle Paul. And he really, you know, went from trying situation to trying situation. And he had a fairly unique perspective. I think he was probably one of the toughest people that ever walked on this planet, given all the things he went through. So let's have a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, and we'll go over the chapter break to chapter 5 and verse 9. We'll read quite a few verses here. So let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, that's the body, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, inasmuch as we, having put it on, shall not be found naked. For indeed, while we are in this tent, in this body, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be clothed, unclothed, but to be clothed, in order that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge. Therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Therefore also we have as ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to him. So here's Paul, he's saying, we're of good courage, we're of good courage. We walk by faith, not by sight. We look at the things which are eternal. We look at the things which are unseen, not at the things which are seen. And this loops back to the story of Peter walking on the water. As soon as he looked at the things that are seen, at the circumstances, the ups and downs of life, and all his troubles, then he couldn't make it. He couldn't focus. His mind was set on his fears and not on his faith. Down he goes, and Jesus pulls him up. And so Paul says, the secret to making it through, the secret to apostolic courage, the secret to getting through our mortal lives in the midst of the Roman Empire and persecutions and all the terrible things happening, is focus on Jesus. Focus on the things that are not seen. Focus on the eternal. Focus on the eternal weight of glory that's coming as we go through these passing light afflictions. Now, I sort of think, Paul, what are you talking about? You got stoned. You spent a day and a night in the deep. You did this, you did that. How on earth can you call that a passing light affliction? You're going from one jail cell to the next for a half of his ministry. Now, this doesn't seem like a passing light affliction. Eventually, he gets his head chopped off. But that's because his life in the body, he knew it was temporary. We only have a little while in this body, and then we're with God in glory. And so he says, it's better to be at home with the Lord than at home in the body. He says, he's looking forward to being with God. Now, he was older when he wrote this. He was probably late 50s, early 60s when he wrote this. And he was looking on forward to life with God in heaven. And he's saying, okay, I'm ready to go whenever I'm ready to go. I'm prepared to face life. And if my body is decaying, if it's getting more mortal, if it's getting illnesses, if it's getting battered by being stoned and whatever, then that's okay. That's what Paul is saying, because his mind was fixed on eternal glory. And that takes away a lot of the panic. If you know that you're going to have a great eternity, that you're going to have an eternal weight of glory, if you can look at the circumstances and say, they don't matter. They're just passing light afflictions. They're just winds and waves. It'll come, it'll go, the storm will settle down. One day I'll be up there in heaven and I won't have to put up with this anymore. I won't have to put up with the politics, the government, the COVID-19. I won't have to put up with negative people and so and so. There's going to be a point when it all comes to an end and you can just trust God. So the way through these circumstances is firstly believe that God is there. Believe that you can cast all your burdens on him and he will sustain you. Be persistent in prayer. Don't look at the winds and the waves. Don't look at the outward situation. Walk by faith and not by sight. Now, you have to look at the outward situation long enough to solve it, but you don't need to be immersed in it. You need to be able to grab hold of the situation, say, okay, let's find a fix. Let's find a solution. I believe, Lord God, that you've got a solution. You're the God of solutions, not of problems. Find the way through. Make a way where there is no way. Get us out of this mess. And God did that for David. He did that for Paul. He did that for the disciples caught in the boat. So when you're feeling completely overwhelmed by life, just take a deep breath and start looking away from the problem. Acknowledge the problem is real. You don't have to go off into fantasy land and don't believe it exists. Acknowledge it's real. Acknowledge your feelings are going up and down like the wave that you just want to run away from and say, God help me. God help my feelings to calm down. Help me to focus on you. Help me to be a good, strong, courageous Christian. And ask God for the boldness to see you through the situation. Say, Lord, at the moment I'm out of courage. Fill me with your courage and strength that I might be a positive Christian who can face all the trials of life with faith in God. Lord, don't let me be a nervous Nelly. Rather, make me a strong saint who can do the work of God and not be intimidated by my circumstances. So pray that God gives you faith, hope, and courage, that he will sustain you even if your burdens seem too much for you at the time. And believe that God is on your side, because he is, and God will see you through and he will bring you out to an eternal weight of glory, because God is with you. Romans 8 tells you that. It says, God is working all things together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Through all these trials of your life, God is going to work for good. He's going to sort it all out, and just trust him and seek his solution. Seek and you will find. God is trustworthy. This is Pastor John Edmiston signing off with Insights for Eternity. God bless you all at this time. And may the God of peace dwell with you and show you every pathway forward in your life. In Jesus' name, amen. Hi, that was an episode of Insights for Eternity. And I'm Pastor John Edmiston from Eternity Christian Fellowship. You can find lots of resources to help you in your Christian Bible study at our website, eternity.church. Our website again, eternity.church. Thank you and be blessed in the Lord this week.